This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 390, recorded on February 14th, 2019. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios in a blustery. Sarah, you're talking about going to see Sammy on Saturday, and I think 3 to 5 inches of snow is kind of, have you been watching the weather forecast for your trip down there?
Yeah, I talked to her about it today. Sunday's going to be a backup day if it's not terrible, but I told her I may not be able to come.
Yeah, well, it's that time of year right here in the Midwest. You can never really guarantee what the weather's going to be. But you've been loving the snow, right?
No.
Not as excited about it as we normally get here on Home Gadget Geeks.
I mean, all of my concerns surround being post-op. And, You know, normally the snow doesn't intimidate me. But driving out across country roads in the middle of nowhere with only one functioning hand, if I get stuck, I'm screwed. So, You know, got to think about those things.
No, you do. And it literally is across the middle of nowhere. But don't forget, we post the show, world-class show notes. There's not going to be very many for this one, to be honest with you. But head out to theaverageguy.tv. This one will be HGG390. Don't forget, you can download us and listen to us live on the road. Really best way to use the mobile app. It's available homegadgetgeeks.com. It's free Android, iPhone. Just download it. You can use it. We want to thank our Patreon subscribers who help us pay for that every year. And we appreciate your sponsorship of the show. Well, it's Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2019, at least here in the United States anyways. And what better way, Sarah, to spend Valentine's Day than to have you on Home Gadget Geeks? Welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
It has been a while since we've done this. I think 5-6 years ago. And Andrew and Michelle. Now, I have that memory. Did we really do that? Or am I making that up?
No, we did it.
Okay.
It seems, me, you and Andrew and Michelle.
Because like I have just barely memories of it. And you're like, did we talk about that? And am I making up those memories?
Because no, it was a while ago. I was on the HP touchscreen up in the kitchen.
Yeah.
When we did that.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And so it's been 5 or 6 years. I was really surprised as we started, as I kind of floated this out through the week, it actually garnered a lot of support from the community. They're actually pretty excited to have you on here.
They don't know me, that's why.
Well, they do know you, though. Like, they know you through me. All these things that I've said, you're laughing, the Big Bang Theory,
that's still filtered. Let's be real. Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. You're going to get a whole hour with us tonight, and it'll be interesting to see if your image of her as we've been, you know, you and the kids, they all kind of come into the podcast. It is going to be a tech show, so don't oh crap. It's like this isn't a marriage thing. I mean, we may not even have a marriage by the end of it. Let's just be 100% honest here. But it's not a marriage thing. We are definitely talking tech. And so don't go anywhere. You're going to want to hang around, for this as well. But yeah, it's been a while since we've had you on. We threw out into the chat room, Sarah, some questions. We said to folks, you know, hey, what Sarah's going to be on, what do you want to ask? So we have some of those lined up. So hang tight. We'll get to those. I kind of want to start though. I've said this before that, you know, I kind of podcast a little bit as a legacy project. In other words, I have 390 of these plus all the other podcasts I've done. I think I've done almost 600 podcasts now at Gallup. For both you and me, if we tried to find video or audio of our parents, of my dad or your dad, it'd be pretty tough. Mm-hmm. And yet there's probably 1,300 hours of me out there doing this. Have you, as you've heard me do all these things, like, is it like this now, tonight, a little bit of legacy? You and me, we have that one from a while ago and we had Andrew and Michelle on. Do you think at all about leaving it with the technology, with our kids? You know, we have 5 college-aged and a little bit older kid. Yeah, do you ever think about there's all of this out there of me, but none of you?
I don't know. I've never been a real fond of getting myself behind a camera, so, or in front of a camera, I should say. I was the mom who liked to live life not behind a lens. I was not the one always videoing my kids and snapping a million pictures. I just tried to be in the moment. So I don't really think of things in that way. I just think more about, I think, making memories more than recording them, which isn't great, but it's just my default. So
I think, well, we have enough. I mean, we've got pictures. We've got some storage. We've got some videos. It's just intriguing to me to think back, you know, if the kids, after we pass, if the kids maybe want to find us, they'll find tons of videos. Like, there'll be no question in my 40s and early 50s, they'll have no question to be able to go back and hear about family, about Brian in the chat room, kind of mentions, even when you're not here, which is all the time, I always talk about how I don't want to move. Like, we've been talking about moving. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. I don't want to move. Like, so they know that about me, right? They'll hear these stories. You know, we've kind of watched Christian grow up. You've kind of watched Christian grow up, right? We first met him at 15, and he's in his mid-20s now.
It's crazy.
Yeah, we kind of watched him grow up. So it is one of those pieces. If this goes well, if we're still married at the end of it, I told you in the pre-show, we got to think about, this should be a Valentine's Day special that we do. Bring you on, catch up with you, figure out what's going on with you. From a tech side of things, one of the projects I've been working on, I think the community's heard a lot about, is how do we replace Media Center? And you just love your Media Center. It's been hard to, I've gone through Plex. I showed you YouTube TV and you're like, that's okay. What is it? I mean, when we think about replacing that for you, we're going to have to, like, Windows 7 is eventually going to stop working. They're going to stop doing the guide stuff. But what is it about that just works so well for you? And what do we need to kind of replace it?
I think number one, it's just a simple, easy user interface. It's easy. And it's all I've had for so long that when it comes to learning something new, it always feels like a bigger hurdle than it is. I don't like to change when it comes to things like that. Partly, I think, because that's my downtime. I don't function well in the evenings. I don't really work well in the evenings. I come home and after dinner, I'm kind of done for the most part. So it's kind of, because it's part of my downtime, I don't want to work at it. And I think that's why I'm hesitant to change to something new. So
we have gone through Plex. We've looked a little bit of that. We've looked at a little YouTube TV. I've had the NVIDIA Shield out there. Anything that you saw in there? I mean, as we think about moving to something new for you, is there anything that you saw that maybe a front runner, or is it at this point? And let me ask you, should I just wait until Media Center dies completely? I mean, I have these as backup plans. That's why I do all this. Because when it does die, you can't be without TV for a while. Now that we've scoped out YouTube TV, I know I could just turn that thing on at any moment and you could probably use it. At least for me, that's for the front runner. What about you?
Just in talking about it, YouTube TV sounds like a strong candidate. I just haven't had a chance to try it because I think you presented it to me either right before or after I had surgery. So I haven't really thought much about it yet. But I do want to try it out because I think it would be a good alternative.
Well, I did put it on pause because it's $40 a month.
Right.
Like, I don't necessarily want it just sitting there.
Right.
I did go in and pause it for 6 months, which is really kind of cool. They let me finish out the free trial. So right now, 14-day free trial, if you want to try it. Then it starts charging you $40 on that. When I paused it, it said, hey, finish up your 3 days and we'll put you on pause until whatever 6 months from now is. I imagine I could go back, turn it on, start paying for it. If that was going to be our choice, that is honestly, the YouTube TV on the NVIDIA Shield is really where I want you to go. Low power TV device using a high power TV offering in a format. It looks really good on the NVIDIA Shield, which is just an Android device.
Well, and I think on the NVIDIA Shield, correct me if I'm wrong, I can get to the Hulu, I can get to the Amazon, I can then do everything on one device. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
John in the chat room says, don't let him fool you. Guy Data is available for a third party.
That's true.
That's true. And I'm to be honest, I'm really not, even when Windows 7 goes out of support, how much browsing do you think you actually do on that Media Center box that we have out there?
Not much. The only time I browse is like, so if up to now, CBS has been one that's been, most of my favorite shows are on CBS, and they don't, I don't think they put their shows out on like Hulu or any of those platforms. You have to go to their website and watch it. So if I'm, if for some reason an episode doesn't get recorded, or there was a fluke, you know, with the computer that night, then I go to the CBS website the next day and watch it there. So it's usually just things like that. Or the occasional, like, we want to show somebody a really cool video on YouTube, we'll pull it up on there. But, I mean, we can do all that on NVIDIA.
Yep.
I don't think there's anything on there that I do that we couldn't do on the Shield. So,
and because it's attached to YouTube TV, of course, you would have all the network channels, anything we've recorded.
Right.
The one drawback, it's not, it's 100% streaming. So if you recorded a lot of content, watched it later, it's not like it's there to watch. And although we don't repeat our television, I mean, you watch something once and then immediately delete it, right?
Usually once in a while, I'll save a favorite episode a couple times and, or watch it a couple times and then delete it.
What are you watching now? Like, what are your shows? You have some go-to shows. What do you record and what are you watching now?
So I really like the Friday night series on CBS, MacGyver, Hawaii Five-O, Blue Bloods, and then Blind Spot. I can't remember what network that's on. That's also on Friday night.
It's NBC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those, The Voice, that's one of my favorites. And NCIS.
Pretty standard. You've gone back. You're also going back for the third time, I think, and going through Stargate. Is that?
Oh, gosh. This is actually probably my fifth time watching SG-1. It's a favorite in our family. So, yep. I hadn't watched it in years, so it's like watching it for the first time again.
And you and I watched an episode last night that I don't think we'd ever seen.
We didn't remember it. It was weird. It was almost like they snuck it in there. And I'm like, I don't think this was ever there before.
Maybe it didn't air before and they showed it again. That was kind of fun to come around. I heard it. I came around the corner. I was watching it. I was standing there for a while. And then I'm going to just finish this.
I'm convinced that I must have fell asleep in the middle of it or something and didn't go back and rewatch it. And that's why I didn't remember it.
Yeah.
It was kind of boring.
we love the sarcasm of that show, and we kind of love we just love the cheekiness of it. Right. And they don't take themselves too seriously. And I think it got better as it got older. You know, I think
definitely
they tried to make a serious series in the very beginning, and then those are pretty painful to watch.
Yeah,
and then it kind of gets better as you go, and even the spinoffs, Universe, not as much. That was a little more serious, but.
Atlantis
was really good.
That's my favorite. I like it more than SG-1.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, super good. As we think about moving, and I say this all the time, nobody believes me, by the way, they don't think I'm actually going to move. We have been holding off on tech. I think here we've got automated lights, so we can turn the lights off and on with the Amazon devices and Philips Hue. We have some plugs that are automated, so we can turn, I can turn the studio lights on. There's some other things we can turn on off and with lights. We have a few cameras. Now we have a D-Link camera out in the garage, and we have two Zimoto cameras. I bought that one last that I talked about last week. But really, we haven't taken that much to home automation. When we think about, for you, when we think about moving and going into a new house, What do you think will be some of the first ones you ask me to put in, or we agree to put in if we're still married by that point? What would you be looking for? What kind of things do you think you'll want to put in right away?
Definitely want automated lights for laundry room, because when you're walking into the dark room hauling laundry, you don't have hands free to turn it on. So you know, here because the laundry room is in a like a four different purpose room, I can tell it to turn it on. So that's, yeah. And we've talked about the Ring, something to that effect. Some
Ring doorbell.
And yeah, maybe some video monitoring for the front door.
For the porch. Sure. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I realized how important that was or how different that made me feel from a package delivery standpoint to have the front door covered. I don't think the back is important, but certainly the front.
Yeah, it's just, it's become an issue now. And I think in this neighborhood, especially recently with, you know, the episode with the neighbor garage, somebody trying to break in the middle of the day. Yeah, it's a problem for a lot of neighborhoods. So it's nice to have that security to know if somebody's, you know, sneaking around your property.
Would you consider a remote starter for your car? Do you think that would be a benefit? I watched my boss start it from his app. Yeah, he was in his office, pulled out his phone, started his car. It notified him that it was on and running, and you could adjust the heat. Now it's, you know, those kinds of things need to be installed with new cars, or they need to be part of the new car. But
yeah,
we got you a new car a couple of years ago. Do you wish we'd gotten a remote starter in it when we
you know, the only time I really wanted a remote start was when I couldn't park in the garage in the winter, first thing in the morning. You know, all my coworkers, a lot of them have a remote start on their cars and they'll get them warmed up before they got to leave. No, if I had a robot to scrape my windows, that I would buy. But, you know, with seat heaters and I don't, the cold doesn't bother me that bad. So I'm always wearing the proper coat and gloves and just going to get in the car. It's going to warm up pretty quick, especially now when I work a mile and a half from home. There's no point waiting for the car to warm up. I'm going to be home in 5 minutes. I can deal with the cold for 5 minutes. Yeah. The only time that really matters is, you know, we had that stupid cold for a week or two. And, you know, a week or two out of the whole year, I don't know if it's worth that. So
what about an app driven or a garage door opener that's a little smarter? You know, we have buttons to push and stuff, but what about a garage door opener that's a little bit smarter?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Actually, a voice activated would be nice. So you don't have to, when we're pulling, turning in the driveway and trying to push a button at the same time, that makes me uncomfortable.
So you mean like the remote in the car would be voice activated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you be comfortable, like, if the proximity awareness got good? In other words, the door would automatically open when your phone senses
my car. Yeah. Yeah,
senses the car, senses your phone.
Yeah.
Would you be comfortable enough, like that?
Oh, knowing, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
That'd
yeah,
be cool.
Joe says geofence it. Yeah, something like that, where you think it opens and kind of closes.
So I'm not familiar with the term geofence. What's that?
Just basically, it says like in this area.
Oh yeah.
Like, so sometimes when I was wearing the Apple Watch at night, I could turn off notifications and then say, don't turn the notifications back on until I leave this address. That creates a geofence.
Cool.
Kind of round it to say, okay, so as soon as I drive away, then notifications turn back on. Really nice way of not having to deal with notifications in the morning. I'm not going to pay attention to them anyways. And I definitely don't want them waking me up. Now, what about a robot lawnmower? Would you let me have one of those if we moved into a place? Could I have a robot lawnmower? I'm going to get this documented. Yes or no?
I guess it depends on the cost.
Well, they're a little expensive right now. They're about $3,000. I thought maybe I'd build a big one. And I just, with us moving, again, that's an excuse I say all the time, but with us moving, it was getting expensive for to move this thing. But yeah, $3,000, $2,000 to $3,000. Like anything, you know, you start thinking, are we going to get any return off that thing? That's pretty expensive.
What's the return on investment? Yeah. And then how much grass are we going to have to mow? I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to it.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
You're saying there's a chance.
I don't think I'll be honest.
Let me finish. Yeah. Because if something happens to you, you break your leg again, I don't want to mow the lawn.
It killed me to watch you mow the lawn.
Code name, Joe?
Yeah. Well, Randy says 3K would get you a pretty great stereo system, Jim. Get your priorities straight. Music versus yard work. Yeah, well, and I love computer equipment. This is the hard part. Is I would $3,000 on a mower, or man, $3,000 buys a lot of computer equipment, and you just kind of go, I don't know. I'll say this. I would have a hard time pulling the trigger on a $3,000 lawnmower that's this big. You know, $3,000 buys you a lot. That buys you a pretty nice rider, and I'm hoping. I'm just putting my wish list in for when we move. I don't want a big yard. Not interested this time.
I think
if it could be concrete, that'd be okay too. Like green painted concrete, that'd be okay.
You want AstroTurf, Jim?
I would be just garden? No, even that has maintenance. Like just green painted concrete would be just fine. Or somebody else's lawn. That would be fine too.
Yeah, I think just having the outdoor patio or I'd like to see you spend more on the grill than a mower. Mm. You know,
let's talk grill tech really quick.
Grilling we do.
Yeah. What
kids coming over and you need a cigar space and fire pit and all those things.
This is just getting so much better. The night just got so much better. If you were picking the grill for me, knowing the way we grill, what we do with it, what would you pick?
I haven't done a lot of grill shopping yet. I'll have to come back to that one.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't done a ton. I've got some ideas. I have some ideas around that, what we'd like to do. We'll talk cigars a little bit later. But
I know for sure we would have two. We'd have a charcoal and an electric or gas.
Yeah. You know, I've talked about that with you several times about wanting to get a charcoal. And I don't know if I. I'd have to think about that.
And I only say that because I know there's some things you've wanted to try that require charcoal, but
yeah. So Randy says no.
We're not moving to a tiny home.
Look, and we can barely live in the size house we have right now. Yeah. We need to get bigger. That's why we're. That's kind of why we're moving. I had mentioned the Subaru a little bit earlier. The Subaru, we have a 2016 Outback, and it had come with EyeSight. And that's really, you know, in the absence of a car like a Tesla that drives itself. By the way, that was one of the questions. Would you let me buy a Tesla?
Question was, how did I react when you bought a Tesla? My answer to that was, well, if Jim bought a Tesla, it's disguising itself very well as a 2006 Civic Hybrid.
No, I haven't bought it yet. They had me, Paul Brennan, who came on who bought a Tesla, he had me talked into it. The problem. Really? Yeah, the problem is they're hard to get. And I'd have to put $1,000. Well, they the S model, the one he has, or the three model, whatever it is, about $40,000, not $35,000, not terrible.
Right.
I didn't know this. I just found this out yesterday from Matt Moster, my boss. They put in charging stations at Gallup. So go around. Yeah, you go around back to the dock and there's two charging stations out there now. So
cool.
I don't know if I, but has EyeSight for you, that's their driving technology. Has that made a difference for you in driving?
For sure. EyeSight's Subaru's pre-collision braking system. It's, I could be wrong, but I believe it's still ranked number one by the Insurance Safety, Commission. It's prevented two accidents for me already, a fender bender and what could have potentially been a major accident on the highway with a semi truck cutting me off at 70 miles an hour. But I think the biggest thing I like about it is there's a couple different things. It's not really the EyeSight so much on the backup cam. I have cross traffic alert. So backing out of parking spaces and parking lots now so much safer and easier. You can see pedestrians, you can see oncoming cars and, you know, things you cannot see with the visual eye because you have other cars on either side of you. The camera on the back can see more than you. I love that. It's safer. For long trips, one of the things the EyeSight does the most for me is reduce driving fatigue because I can use the adaptive cruise and it will automatically sense the car in front of me and match its speed. And I can set the car length, how far, how close I want to get to that car. And there's also lane keep assist. So if I have to look at a map or, you know, look at GPS on my phone, I've got the car helping me stay in my lane so that I'm not too distracted at the wheel. Because let's be honest, when you're traveling, you got to look at maps sometimes, or you got to look at your GPS on your phone. And it helps a lot. So I really like that. It as I get older, you know, fatigue behind the wheel becomes a bigger deal. And it really reduces that a lot for me. I really like that.
It's a comfortable car to drive. I've enjoyed it when I've had to take Sammy to or from school, 2 hours there, 2 hours back. I actually really look forward to it. And in that car, it's great. Because like you said, you can just set the adaptive cruise. And it's super. I mean, I rarely touch the brake or the gas on a long trip.
Yeah.
And this the Civic, the 06 Civic, has good cruise. And I did a trip down to Arkansas just a few, a month ago or so. And it was great. I got down there and back, very little fatigue. It was great. But man, driving your car is super awesome. It's a 2016 Subaru Outback. And I think we've been talking. My car will come up once we pay hers off. We'll go out and I'll get a new one. We were thinking this, a Subaru of some kind, but I like the space in that Outback so much after driving yours. I think we may become a dual Outback family. We looked at the smaller versions, or I've been looking the Forester or the Crosstrek. Mm-hmm. It's just like, man, you can't put anything in there. I kind of like it.
It doesn't ride as smooth either. That was one of the things that turned me off from it. Was
shorter wheelbase.
Yep.
Yeah. So. Well, it's been a good, that has been a really good piece of tech for you. I think that's solved a lot of problems and made driving a lot better for you. You were commuting way longer than you are now. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of glad you were in that car while you're commuting. And I'm really glad you're not commuting anymore.
Yeah.
By the way. So I think Subaru, like Volvo, like Mercedes, like Lexus, are going to come to automated driving later, but they'll take steps to get there. They won't go the Tesla. They won't go full Tesla on that, or they won't go full Google with those Google cars. I think they'll get there eventually and do it a little bit slower.
Yeah.
We also want to talk. So about, no, not this time. It was back in the winter of last year. Took you out to dinner. And I said, hey, I got this crazy idea about crypto. And folks have been wondering, like, what did you really think? Like, I pitched one thing here as we talked about it. But what were you, as I was giving you that pitch, I had some numbers, right? I drew some numbers out and we had some things. They didn't really ever work out. But what were you thinking when I was pitching that to you? What were your thoughts? Do you remember?
Some of it. My thought right now is like, I need a refresher course on the blockchain. Cause I remember you explaining it to me and I remember getting it and I remember saying, oh, it's like this. And I had an analogy and I told you the other night, I don't remember what that analogy was now, but, I got the concept. I thought it was pretty cool. I think for me, I mostly saw it as constructive hobby for you, and like you said, if we make some money, great. You know, the investment was not huge. It wasn't completely outrageously foolish. I've never been opposed to letting you buy tech to experiment with and try things with, so yeah. I mean,
I bought $1,500 worth of hard drives.
Yeah,
you're okay with that
at this point in our life? It's not hurting us. You know, 10, 15 years ago, I'd have been like, what did you do?
Gotta put shoes on the kids.
Billions of teenagers to feed.
Well, and we've kind of replaced those expenses with delayed college loan expenses. Yeah. Like we still have, I mean, the kids are racking up some debt in college and those are going to have to be paid off. But, you know, we did calculate through that. I think, you know, I had 100 terabytes of storage here at one time. Did that seem, As I was doing that, did that seem to change anything for you knowing I had this, all this equipment down here, or are you just kind of able to just, cause it's right down here where you're doing the laundry. I mean, you see it all the time. Mm-hmm. Did it mean anything, or are you just kind of like, nah, it's just Jim's toys?
Neither of those, probably somewhere in the middle. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a big deal to me.
Yeah.
I just kind of watched from a distance to see what was happening with it. But yeah, like I said, I saw it more as a hobby for you, a learning experience to try something out. And
do you feel like I kept you up to date on what was going on enough, or did you not need to know on some of those things?
Yeah, I guess I just didn't need to know. If I wanted to, I would have asked. So
yeah, since for those, if you're just starting to listen, I've sold off about half of that storage. So I'm down to about, 60 terabytes, which it seems huge for my home server days back when I used to be on with Dave McCabe, and we'd be talking about 4 terabytes, you know, and to have 60 now and kind of go, well, it's half of what I used to have. It feels kind of weird, you know, feels a little bit weird to have all that, to have that much storage there. We've got another question in the Facebook group that kind of pertains to this. When I started podcasting, you know, a decade ago, I think it's been about a decade now we've been doing this. What did you think of that at first?
I don't remember what I thought then, honestly. I mean, when you started with Dave, you guys were talking about the home server product. And you know, I just saw you as being out there online, helping people, you know, understanding how to use that product and get the most out of it. And, you know, we had some side benefits of you being recognized by Microsoft for that. So, and again, it was a fun hobby for you, you know, so it made you happy. And I think for the most part, that was key to me, because I think those were some years where you struggled with enjoying work as much. And so it was important for you to have something you enjoyed as a hobby to count, to balance that. So
I think the question I get more than anything else is like, how do you put up the hours alone that I put into this? Right. And it's not just podcasting. I'm down here a lot, right? I mean, I'm doing a lot of community stuff. I'm working on crypto stuff. I'm helping people or on Twitter or doing stuff on the computers. And I get that question a lot of like, how does that, like my wife would never stand for that. You gave a little clue to it. I think, you know, you like your downtime out there, TV. And so a lot of the times I'm doing stuff here, you're exactly just right behind you there on the couch watching TV. But how does that work? Because I don't think a lot of people understand like how I get to do, and now it's even worse because I mean, I'm doing it for work and I'm gone all the time and some of those kinds of things. How does that work for you? I don't think a lot of people get that.
I guess the simplest way I can put it, I don't feel like I'm emotionally or relationally needy person. I think it's atypical for a woman. That I'm not so much. And I don't mind my alone time because I'm an introvert. I mean, I can interact socially. I have to do it all day for my job. So when I come home, it's my time to unplug and recharge. And yeah, I don't need a lot of it. And I think, one of the side benefits is that because we have so many kids, they help contribute to filling my relational cup. So it's not all on you. Yeah, I enjoy my alone time, and I think I just don't, I'm not relationally that needy. So I know a lot of women, they need more relational time with their husbands, and I don't know, maybe I'm weird.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but well, since you know. since you brought it up.
You've lived with me 30 years, so if you didn't know, then something.
Yeah, by the way, 30 years, 10 days from now. So yeah. The 24th, we'll celebrate right. 30 years. That kind of in itself is a miracle. Have I ever done, what's the weirdest technology thing? Like when I jumped the shark, have I had a shark jumping moment?
I'm thinking about that, and I'm just like, wow, I don't. I know there's been some times, but I think one of the funniest ones was when we had three or four different workstations in the house, and you and the boys would get on, I think it was Half-Life or something, and play each other across the network. And it was just crazy. You're all in the same house, all on these huge computers, gaming each other.
Well, we had an early network at the Castellar house. So this was pre-moving here. So maybe 98, 99. And I remember distinctly, I was up in the kitchen. We'd set the computer up with this long kitchen, not a lot of space. That's kind of a theme of ours. We've never lived in a house that has very much space. So guys, when we move, we're moving to a house that has a lot of space. Everybody's been asking me, are you downsizing? Your kids are gone. I'm like, no, we are upsizing. We are going somewhere where there's some space. But I'm in the kitchen, have a computer set up in the kitchen, and I'm kind of there. It's not a very big kitchen. And I can hear the boys downstairs. We're playing Command & Conquer, and I am just cleaning them out. And it's like, oh, it's quit rage just going on. And I kind of realized at that point, like, well, this isn't great. I shouldn't do this. So at that point, I kind of quit gaming because I was just like, I can't. Like, I would tell the boys, okay, go down there. I won't do it this time. Right?
I'll go easy on you. You used to say that, and then you wouldn't.
All the time, I wouldn't. And it got me. And it'd be interesting to have the kids on and ask them about their memories of growing up with technology. There was a lot of technology in the house. We always had to go with the kids. We used a program called Enough, and I tried to find that the other day. I think it's gone. I don't think it's around anymore, but it was a monitoring, and not so much monitoring. We needed a timer. We had three boys sharing one computer. We gave them an hour of computer time a day. They could earn more by doing chores, and some of them were motivated by that. Some of them just broke into the computer to when they didn't want to get it, Josh. And so we used that. That was kind of monitoring, tracking. When you think of the things we did with technology, what do you think we did well with the kids and technology? And then maybe what do you think we could do different? Think first, what do you think we did really well?
I think what we did well was, as we saw issues and problems, and really, and I don't say we, cause you did it all, but, just figuring out how to lock things down and make it more secure to keep them from, getting into troublesome content. That whatever that Enough software was perfect for the time because, it gave everybody their allotted time. We could take it away if they had a punishment. We could give them more if they, did something extra. That worked really well.
What was our cell phone? Did we ever sit down and really kind of like pick out? Because our kids, our oldest kids, kind of grew up in the era where cell phones were becoming available as teens.
I honestly think we lucked out. I think we just fell into a really fortunate time period and flow because as our kids were coming up into high school and middle school, honestly, they got cell phones as we could afford them and as they needed them, as we felt they needed them. And so it just, households with multiple cell phones were just starting to become affordable when our kids were hitting high school. So we didn't really have a big battle. It kind of naturally evolved just because of the climate at that time, with technology and the way it was developing. And so, texting just started to become a thing when Phil was getting up into high school. and they were charging by the text back then. It was ridiculous.
Remember, he used to hide it under the table, and he'd be texting one-handed under the table, and then we'd look at the bill, and he'd have like 3,000 texts or something.
Yeah, so I honestly, I just feel like we lucked out in that. Because I see the challenges people have today, and I'm like, I wouldn't want to have little kids now.
What would we do differently, do you think?
I would definitely ban phones at the table, and I would take them at night when they go to bed. You know, and just like we didn't let them on the computer, or they weren't allowed to get in the swimming pool till their chores were done or their homework was done, I'd take their phone till those things were done. You know, same thing. I've always struggled with the privacy thing. You know, there's a lot of parents that want full access to their kids' phones and to be able to go through them. And I don't know. I feel like we tried to operate on the trust principle that we trusted our kids until they gave us a reason not to. So again, I think we just lucked out there because they didn't all really have access to that when they were young and more vulnerable to those things.
I think we were also fortunate. The older ones kind of blazed a trail, good or bad, or good and bad, for the younger ones. Tim definitely learned and took a really meek and mild and very quiet approach to his teen years. Followed the rules, maybe. Mm-hmm. At least it appeared that way a lot to us. And Samantha really was, we got her a phone the earliest of any of them. It was really to kind of for her to be able to keep in touch with us.
Not a necessity because we were concerned about her safety getting home from school because it was getting to the point where I couldn't pick her up every day. And we'd had the sex offender issues in the neighborhood. And I did not want my junior high daughter walking home alone. And so on the days when I could not get her, it was you text me when you leave, you text me as soon as you get home. You know, not going to lie, guys, there were days when I forced one of my high schoolers to walk halfway to the middle school and meet their sister and walk her the rest of the way home. They didn't like me for that, but I didn't give a crap because I had one daughter and I was determined to see her safely to adulthood.
I think they probably, I mean, they may be a little disgruntled, but I think you'd ask them now and they'd probably be okay with it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
pretty protective of their sister. No, some good advice. I think, you know, it's a different day and, you know, with all the problems with sexting and bullying that goes on that way and some private things on the phone and some of the pressures that go on both with girls and boys, it goes both ways. It is a different world, but I think as a parent, you really got to engage in that and say, okay. And I think this is one of the things you and I agreed on, fairly early. And you said this, don't like trust first until you're given a reason not to trust. And trust me, we had plenty of reasons not to trust our kids at times. You know, there's some crazy things going on, but giving them that fundamental trust early and allowing them to kind of move in that space and be still be a parent. That doesn't mean we're friends to them necessarily. We were, but. Yeah. But giving them some of that freedom and leash to do it, but not carte blanche, right? And also spending quite a bit of time with them.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I am glad I did, you know, a lot of my peers were very cautious. You know, again, our kids grew up in the area where social media emerged. So, we kind of had to learn as it grew. And I had a lot of peers who were terrified of social media. They were scared to let their kids on there. They were incredibly stringent. I told my kids, you know, they were allowed to engage in social media platforms like MySpace and things like that as they were legally old enough. And I was always going to be one of their friends. And I engaged with their friends, but that's kind of how the culture we set anyway. We engaged with their friends. They were welcome in our house and we engaged with them and we wanted them to feel safe and respected when they were in our home. So likewise, they should feel safe and respected if I engage with them on social media. And it was just, I think one of the things that enabled me to have a better relationship with my kids was, you know, instant messaging and texting, because awkward teenagers have a really hard time having face-to-face conversations about girls and all the things that they're dealing with. But if you'll engage with them in instant messaging or an email or texting and listen to them, I would use any platform necessary if it meant my kid would talk to me. And I literally watched Phil grow from, "Mom, I got to talk to you about something, but I want you to go get on the computer in the back and we'll instant message. I don't want," because he was just really uncomfortable. I watched him grow from that as a junior higher to a sophomore in high school. He's coming home and I'm getting ready to go to bed. He's like, "Mom, I need to talk." And I'm like, "Okay." And we'd sit down on the basement floor and talk for an hour and a half. And, you know, it starts as one thing, and it just any way you can to get your kids to engage with you. That those are the things I don't regret, and I'm glad I did.
Today, we still have a family chat that is, man, I've tried to get out of several times, just to be honest, and I get
not allowed to get out of family chat. Not allowed.
I was doing a podcast at work, and in my ears, nobody else could hear it, but in my ears, I was getting that messenger ring, you know, and I was like, ding, ding, ding. I'm like, "Oh," so I left, and then boom, you've been added back in, like literally in 20 seconds later, you've been, and then I left again. Nope. Added back in. And you said exactly.
Can't leave. You just mute it.
One of the things I think, as you mentioned, chat, you know, this idea of chat, and what always cracks me up is the kids have a cat chat is what they call it. And it's just cat pictures, right? Of Pippin, our cat, and
one of those things where they can infuse positivity in their lives to each other.
What's funny is they talk about the cat chat all the time. Like when they're together and I'll hear Sammy, I'm talking to her. "Oh yeah, Tim posted this in the cat chat." Like, what is this cat chat that you speak of? They have their own back channels, but we have a family chat that we spend quite a bit of time in. I think one of the things that helped too is we were always willing to be where they were at, and I always try to keep ahead of them. So if they were texting, I was trying to figure out the next thing. I was on social media first before right. them. They jumped on MySpace. We were on there with them. We got to Facebook first. They kind of joined us over there. We listened to all their music and let them listen to it as loud in some cases as they wanted to. Like we let...
Except Screamo.
Yeah. Yeah, we went through that era where there was Screamo. It was like, no. Phil, our oldest, played drums. And I can't tell you many times I sat down in this basement with ear hearing protection on while he practiced for 3 hours. And I just kind of figured, man, if I just let him keep practicing, maybe he'll get sick of it. And he never did. He turned out being a really great drummer.
Good, which, what he did.
Which is awesome. But on the technology side, I either tried to keep up with them, and I think you did too. You were more practical about it. Keep up with them or exceed where they're at. Try to be the first one out there. Try to be the first one using it. I've gotten behind, like Instagram and Snapchat. I have gotten behind. We still use it, but that's not one of those things. Although I'm not in a mode anymore where I kind of need to chase my kids. They're fine doing what they're doing, right? I don't need to be chasing them. I'm just not thinking about it as often. But man, when they were younger, I was always thinking about what's the thing that's out there right now and what do I know about it?
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
So, you know, we still, you know, Samantha's 20, she's in college. We still spend a lot of time talking to her. And here's what's interesting. In the 80s, when you and I were getting married, late 80s, you know, we had to make phone calls, letters took forever, right?
Yeah.
I would call my parents every week. I'd call you all the time, right? And that was that connection, you know, that phone line. And now if I don't go, sometimes our kids won't call us. We have to say, hey, you have time to Skype tonight, you know, kind of thing. And interesting that we've landed on Skype.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we may go 3, 4, 5 weeks without seeing Tim. But we talked to him so much. Like, we've seen he bought a new car.
Snapchat, Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole different, like, I don't know if I need the Sunday. I grew up on the Sunday afternoon phone call to mom and dad.
Right.
And they'd be angry if I didn't call them.
Right.
Right. And today, you know, we're like, we'll get to a Monday. And I'm like, oh, we forgot to, darn it. We forgot to call them. Kind of, you know.
We're not missing them because we're engaging with them throughout the week. No. It makes them feel a lot closer.
Yeah. 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 I think, like, I have no regrets for parenting through technology. Like, we embraced it. I think one of the keys is you let me live in that world of completely embracing the technology that was there and always trying to stay up with the latest thing. And that was, you were always okay with that. You laughed at me a lot of times for some of the silly things I do.
Computer guts all over my washing.
Especially that Castellar house. When I was working for Computer Renaissance and I was bringing parts home all the time and staying up till 2 a.m. trying to fix those things and put them together. But that you allowing me to fully embrace it. And then I think the kids would say that they were okay with their dad being a complete nerd. Like, I didn't try to be something different for them. I was their nerdy dad. Let's take advantage of this. I'm still trying to get Samantha to podcast.
Well, I think, you know, Samantha and Phil are probably the least techie of all of them, but they at least have a good solid, you know, base of understanding for technology and aren't afraid of it. And, you know, John, Josh, and Tim, I feel like it was one of the ways you could bond with them, helping them build PCs, you know. It was kind of fun to watch them save their money and buy their own components, and you guys talking about what to get and, you know, what video card to put in and what kind of tower am I getting and what kind of speakers and all these crazy keyboards and watching them put them together. And you taught them that, you know, I don't think they would have done that without, you know, that being your passion and hobby. No.
John did it more than any, for sure. And he actually took very little advice from me. He kind of had it figured out what he wanted. He had done the research, of course, right, John?
Yes.
Of course, he had done the research. He had spent the time looking. He was the first one to do, you know, Crossfire and put two video cards together here. He saved, you know, $1,600, $1,700 to be able to buy a really monster rig and then a really powerful laptop to kind of go with it. He was the driver after a while. And then Josh kind of followed him.
Yeah.
And Tim never really got into that part. He kind of just, he was a mild gamer. Eventually, when he got in the military, he bought his own kind of computer, his own.
Yeah, but he built his own rig still, too.
Oh, that's true. He did, didn't he? Yeah, those final years.
Three of those guys did.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Sammy was always content with just a computer. In fact, she had my Surface RT for a lot of years sitting on here, wore the battery out. No, battery doesn't work anymore.
Remember that iPod Touch that she wore to the ground? No.
She was really good. Now that I think about it, she was really good at just wearing out the technology. Like, she would not beg for newer until she absolutely needed it. And even with phones, she puts up with a lot.
She does. Wow. She's not a needy child. For a girl, she's very low maintenance and she doesn't ask for a lot.
Yeah.
I have to find her. Oh, you know, we could buy that for you. Because she just doesn't ask. It's weird.
I get bills from college. I get her bill. It's $15, and she's like, "Sorry." I'm like, "It was a month." You know, she
bought drinks for the vending machine.
No, she's pretty. Yeah, she thinks that's spending a lot. That's not. Hopefully, she's not listening. She's pretty great. Her and I are on the same cycle with cell phones. I didn't think, actually, if you listen to that sentence, that didn't sound right saying that. But
at first, I was like, where's this going?
I know. As soon as I said that, I thought, oh, that didn't really come out the way I intended it to. But we're on the same phones. You've gone Android for whatever reason. Why? You know, typically, people really question me for that. They're like, that's weird. You're on an iPhone and Sarah's on the Android.
For an iPhone user?
Well, I think there's been some bias. Like, the girls go with iPhones and the boys do Android, you know?
Yeah.
I needed a phone. I went to iPhone because I didn't want to mess with my phone. Yeah. I really just wanted it to work. Why Android for you? And why you kind of follow the boys.
First off, I got to say, when you first went iPhone, it surprised me. I was like, what? But then when you explained why, it made a lot of sense. Because you're already so immersed in technology that you didn't want your phone to be one of those experimental learning, you know, you needed it to work. You needed that to be your solid thing that worked all the time. It was reliable. It was simple. I like to mess with mine. I like to customize mine. When I had an iPhone, there were some limitations with iPhone that I just could not forgive. I know those things have changed now, but it was just, I'd grown up a PC girl, and you know, there were some things I liked about the iPhone. I still say that their touchscreen interface is one of the best responses I've seen, and I know they have awesome cameras, but yeah, I just like Android. I don't know. It just, the way I think, the way I operate, I just like it better. I love my Google phone. I love Project Phi.
What do you have? And yeah, you mentioned that you're on Project Phi, but what do you have?
Well, I have the Pixel, right?
I haven't even seen your bill, by the way. I have no idea what we're paying for that phone. It's on your account.
30 something. I think once it was over 40 a month. Like when I travel, it goes up because I use a little more data. But I like that I'm only paying for the data I use. I like that. I don't know if I'll ever travel out of the country, but if I do, it's supported. I don't have to pay extra for some international plan. It's a good phone. I think the thing I love the most is it's not loaded with bloatware. The bloatware that is on it are Google apps, and I use at least half of them. So I think I counted the bloatware on this phone versus the Samsung that I had on Sprint, and it was 3 times less apps that I could not remove that I won't use. I just like it. Good.
Ryan says he loves being on Phi for the low bill, but misses the quality of the Verizon network.
I can't speak to that because I've never used Verizon. Yeah. So
well, and we're I think it uses the Sprint both. Network.
It uses both from what I
yeah. Google. We're in a pretty good Sprint. You know, Kansas City, just a couple hours to the south. Omaha is actually covered really well by Sprint. Mm-hmm. Tony says iPhone is great, just that Android works best for me too, for him. Agreed. User package disabler to kill the bloat. Yeah, you know, and it's this is what I love about it. It's one of those things. I could switch to Android if I wanted to. They're pretty much in parity now. I would go with a Pixel like you have. I like a bigger phone, so I'd pay for that. But both of those now work. In the Android era I was in, man, Android was just awful. Yeah. And I needed a phone when I traveled. I would take it out of my pocket. I would get on a plane in the morning, and I would get off 3 hours later and the phone would be dead. And I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work. Like, no. It's just the early Android phones just did not have what I needed. iPhone was hot and ready to go and has worked really, really well for me. It continues to. I don't really use iOS specific. Now I've got the watch, so there's some things there that are combined. By the way, I answered a call on my watch yesterday. Nice. I was like, can I do this?
Yep.
So I hit there. Hello? Hey, this is Jim from Valentino's. They were bringing pizza over. I was like, yeah, I'll be there in 4 minutes. Okay, I'm coming down. And it was super great. Like, I was like, I knew you could do this. I just hadn't really had a chance to answer a call on my phone. I bought the cellular plan with it. And so I might as well use it. I'm paying for that crazy cellular stuff. So I might as well get it done.
Ryan made a comment about being in KC. And my sister lives in KC. Her husband actually worked for Sprint for years. And that's kind of been a running joke. Sprint's headquartered there, and they have the worst coverage area ever. Yeah. Ever. It's terrible. I cannot leave voicemails for my sister. She doesn't get them. It's
we've struggled with voicemail on Sprint. Yeah. That may be a reason to leave them here at some point and go that direction. Again, nothing against Android. I think I could do either. I got the phone and the watch. Probably makes sense. And I'm going to hold on to this iPhone till it breaks. That's the, this, we'll pay this one off, and then I'm going to try and keep it an extra year or two. I'm trying to get 5 years out of a phone at this point. We'll see if that's four for sure, maybe five.
Yeah. I got to say, my biggest pet peeve with iPhone that remains to this day is the whole ringtone crap. I'm like, seriously, I can't just take any song, any music that's already loaded to my phone and make it a ringtone or an alarm tone. I got to go through all these special gymnastics to get special alarm and ringtones. That's a joke to me. I just like, that's so dumb. That should not be that hard. That's one of my pet peeves with iPhone. Yeah,
and I don't even change. Like, Sammy is, she's always saying to me, Dad, you change nothing. Like, yeah. And I don't. Everything's stock.
See, I like to mess with all those things.
No,
and
right on.
The reasons I didn't like iPhone.
It's so weird. Again, that's not stereotypical. Like, I'm the PC guy. I should be the one wanting to hack the phone. No, I want my phone to just work. It's a device I need to just work. I don't really mess with. I mess with everything else. Where you mess with nothing else. We just talked about your media center. You don't care. You just watch TV, right? You could be hacking on that thing. It's certainly hackable. But your phone, now, let's be honest, you're not that much of a hacker on your phone. Like, no. You set ringtones, you do some other custom stuff. But for you, too, you just want it to work as well. When I send you a PDF of the insurance, you want to be able to see it, print it, all those kinds of things. So, yeah, it's one of the questions. It's interesting when I tell people that. They're like, knowing I'm a computer guy, they're kind of like, you don't have Android? And your wife has Android? Like... That is just,
it's kind of funny because it's like we're the Honda / Subaru family and we're the iPhone / Google family. Guys, when all of my kids are in the house, two people have iPhones, one's still holding out with a Samsung. The rest of us have Google phones, and when they're face up, we don't know whose phone is whose. You have to turn it over because we all have Pixels and we all have these cases by a company called Carved, and we love the Carved cases, but on the front they all look the same, so you have to turn it. Everybody's got a different case on the back, so we have to turn it over to see whose phone is whose. Somebody handed me Josh's phone the other day. I'm like, that's not mine.
I have a pretty common case too. This Tech 21 case that's on my iPhone.
A lot. Yeah.
And I've picked up other people's phones and walked off. Like, and then I reach in my pocket. I'm like, oh, there's a phone. Two phones. The funny thing is, most people know, like, I've done this several times. So they just wait. Like, they'll just sit at the table and wait. And then every time I leave a room, I'm checking for my phone. That's just a habit now, right? I'm like, because I don't want to leave it. And they're like, and I'm like, oh, hey, who's, oh, sorry, you know, oh, terribly sorry, I stole your phone. And they just laugh. They laugh and laugh. But yeah, I walk away with other people's phones all the time. Two more questions, not necessarily tech related. One, if you've listened to the show over the last 4 or 5 or 6 years, or you've known me since the Home Server Show days, you know the cigar bit has become a new thing for us. How do you feel about cigars?
So I guess I'll tell them my story, my evolution with cigars. So I've had to kind of prep Jim that my two brothers and his brothers can be stumbling blocks for me. So when we're hanging out with them and drinking, for some reason, those goobers can get me into trouble, suck me in. So I'm like, I got to learn my limits with them. But I did learn to appreciate cigars from my brothers, though. You know, they were the ones that convinced me to try them. I think the very first one I tried was a chocolate cigar that my brother had, and it was really good. And we had some makers, and it was a good time. I enjoy trying them now and then, but one of the things that I've learned is that bourbon and cigars don't like me. I joke all the time. I say I'm a pirate. I can drink rum, any kind of rum, all night and I'm fine the next day. I can drink one old fashioned, but if I exceed that, I feel horrible the next day. If I drink two old fashions with the best bourbon, I feel like crap the next day. If I smoke a whole cigar, it doesn't matter how good it is, how expensive it is, I feel like crap the next day. So I just enjoy, you know, tasting what the guys are smoking. You know, if somebody needs to go in the house, hey, keep this going for me, I'll do that, try it, taste it, you know. I enjoy doing that, but I just can't enjoy a whole one. It just doesn't agree with me. So I think it's just one of the body chemistry things. So
what about you, okay with me doing it though?
Yeah, I think my only concern about the cigar smoking is sometimes it can be divisive in family gatherings because half of the people are going out and having cigars and half of them are coming in, and you know, you can't always go out and enjoy the time with them. The smoke can get overwhelming for the little kids. And so I think there's times and places for it. I love hearing the stories of poker night at Josh's. That's pretty entertaining. Look, I'm all about if they're having a good time, they're being safe, everybody's getting home safe, I don't have an issue with it. And yeah, we've kind of got a system with Jim and the smoking jacket. And when he's been smoking cigars, the clothes go to the laundry room and I wash them. And yeah, it works out.
I think I'm going to need a new humidor though. The one I got's leaky.
I feel bad. John put so much effort into buying it.
That's okay. Yeah. No, I'll just try to seal it again. You know, put something on it, some foam or something on it. Back there, I've really enjoyed it. It's been great to, you know, we got the chance to hang out with the Uyghurs. By the way, if you're listening, Suit and Scrubs, you need to subscribe to it. Mike and Hannah, they're on episode 2. Episode 2 is even better than episode 1. So make sure you get out there, Suit and Scrubs. I think it's just at suitandscrubs.com. Really, really good. Mike and Hannah are enjoying Valentine's Day. I gave Mike the night off. That's one of the reasons Sarah is here. I didn't remember that till Tuesday. And I was like, oh, hey, yikes, I need a guest. And I'm like, why don't I just have Sarah on? I was listening to Suit and Scrubs. This is completely different than what Mike and Hannah do. They have little games that they play. They do some trivia stuff. Mike absolutely gets owned on that. Hannah just owns him. It's so great. They're in season 3, actually. This is their third reboot, but episode 2.
Yeah, they brought it back from, when was the last time they did it before?
Yeah, it was last year. They wiped out the channel and he started over. So it might as well be season 1, episode 2.
Right.
So they're on 2. They've done 2 episodes. And Hannah just owns him, which is super great. So if you haven't heard that yet, it's just super great. We got a chance to go over there and enjoy some wine and some beer and smoke a few cigars out on their patio, which is super great. And we'll have to do some more of that as the as the weather turns. Anything else, Sarah?
Did we hit all the questions?
Yeah, we did. We hit them all.
Did we? Okay, yeah. Good.
There's one more, but I'll save that for the end. That's part of my end gig. Yeah. Anything else you'd add to it in your? Let's not do this once every 5 years.
Right.
It may be better if we have you on, you know, Valentine's Day. Maybe that becomes our tradition. And just so folks know, like, our anniversary is 10 days after Valentine's
Day.
Yeah, we kind of figured out, like, hey, let's let all the yahoos buy all the expensive flowers. And then I'll go, since 30, we're coming up on 30. Next week, I'll go and buy the stores out of what the roses they have left. And it'll be a third of the price, and I can buy twice as many, and we'll just put a whole bunch of flowers in the house.
Yeah.
Which will be, you like flowers, right?
Yeah.
Flowers are okay for you.
Did you see, so our church has a Facebook page, and they posted today, they were doing a poll. They're like, what do you like more, flowers or candy? Did you see my comment? Cause I tagged you in it.
No.
I said, well, you can't eat flowers. That's all I'm saying.
I did see that. I should buy you more candy, but flowers are, I like buying you flowers.
I do. Yeah. I've got plenty. I still have candy from Christmas. I'm still working on my stocking stuff. Yeah. Tim bought me so much. So Valentine's Day, it can be such a I don't know. I feel like it's a catch 22 for so many people. It's like, you know, for the single people, they feel terrible. And for people that are engaged in a relationship, it's, I feel like it's more of an opportunity for a letdown than it is an opportunity to appreciate each other. So we've just kind of made light of Valentine's Day. I always used it as an opportunity to do fun things for the kids. When they were in school, I always buy the heart-shaped boxes of chocolates and I would deliver them to the school with the car. And that was before they banned you being able to drop things off at school. But, you know, our kids loved getting deliveries at school. That was like the cool thing, you know, and they weren't embarrassed by mom delivering a box of chocolates to them at school. They thought that was cool. And sometimes I'd hit their best friends too. If I thought, you know, sometimes the kids would have a friend that might be going through something. So I'd, you know, send something for them too. I love doing that kind of stuff. It was super fun. So that's kind of what we turned Valentine's Day into. I went to work yesterday because even though Valentine's Day is today, at work, Thursdays are a really slow day for the clinic. And there's only one therapist. So yesterday I went with all these little $1 boxes of chocolates and gave a box to every one of my coworkers. And they're all like, oh, thanks. And it's like, it's fun because you just made somebody's day by giving them three pieces of chocolate in a box. That's great.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's turned into for us. And I do feel a little weird because, like, today there were tons of flowers being delivered on campus and such. I'm like, oh, every year I kind of second guess myself. Like,
nope.
Should I have done something? But we talked about this a lot.
Every year I'm glad we don't have to worry about that pressure, because in 10 days we get to celebrate our anniversary. The hype is over and we don't have to worry about getting a reservation. Yeah, I know. Don't ever feel guilty, because I love that we kind of get a pass on Valentine's Day. It's pretty great. And hey, clearance candy. Half price candy the day after.
Pretty great.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty great. I need to pick some up for the office candy stash. We have an area where everybody kind of just contributes.
I have extra little boxes if you want some. Mm.
I always like the M&Ms. You can get M&Ms pretty cheap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they're colored, and now they're getting ready for Easter, right? So
everybody loves M&Ms.
Yeah. No, it's, I don't care if the package is red with hearts or green for Easter or Christmas. The chocolate all tastes the same. Well, with that, a couple reminders as we go. We'll do a little bit of post show too here tonight. No crypto in the post show. So no crypto on Patreon. If you head over there, I'd be 2 weeks in a row, I guess. But a couple reminders. If you want to send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. If you want to give me some feedback on this episode, if you liked it, and why wouldn't you? Sarah's pretty fantastic. I mean, she's pretty great at this. So maybe you should have your own podcast. Jim at the Average Guy. No, I'm just kidding. Jim at the Average Guy. I'm trying to talk Sammy into it. She'd be good at this.
She would be fun.
Yeah,
we need Sammy, to do it with Sammy.
I know. I've been thinking maybe her on her own, but I think I'm going to have to do it with her until she gets her feet. Maybe this summer when she's home.
Yeah.
When she's done. Don't forget the Patreon link is available out there on the website as well. By the way, I just added Spotify as well to the sections for subscribing. So if you've gotten into Spotify lately and you're like, oh, I can listen to the Home Gadget Geeks on Spotify. Yep, you can. So head out to Spotify. We have a link in the subscription area. It says subscribe, I think. You can go out there. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do that as well. Go to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. That's the easiest way. Or support. That's the easiest way to get that done. We appreciate you for doing that and helps kind of do what we do here with the podcast. And don't forget, at Jay Collison on Twitter, if you're going to do that, lots of great conversation out there going on Twitter. Yeah, all the time. The Facebook group has gotten particularly good. And so if you've been holding out, stop. I know people hate Facebook. I get it. But just do one thing. Just be in our group. Like, don't friend anybody. Just come into the group. Like, for God's sakes, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So love to have you join us in there. Facebook.com/group/theaverageguy. Just ask to be put in. I moderate the crap. Actually, I don't have to anymore. But it's heavily moderated. You can get it. Sarah's in there, actually. You hang out in that group.
Once in a while, I chime in.
Yeah. No, it's good to have you. It's good to have you out there. So join us. Facebook.com/groups with an S /theaverageguy. And then don't forget the averageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosted, powered by Maple Grove Partners. That's Christian. We actually just did a Cyber Frontiers last week. If you missed it, Cyber, I think it's 51 or 52, something like that. Hold on, let me look. Go to theaverageguy.tv. It's 52. We talked about AI. It's called AI Rising. That's kind of a, that'd be a good movie name. Christian, yeah. Christian came up with that. And a lot of good chat. In fact, catching up with Christian, we had about 4 or 5 months between podcast, and we talk a little bit about what he's doing. So head out there. Thanks, Ryan, for putting that in the chat. 52. Head out there, but maplegrovepartners.com for all your hosting needs. Anything. He can do anything. Dude's so smart. Head out to maplegrovepartners.com. And then don't forget, last but not least, well, not totally last, because you guys know what I'm going to talk about last. Don't forget to get the mobile app, homegadgetgeeks.com, iPhone, Android, on the road, all those things. It's free. Great way to stream it. Get out there, homegadgetgeeks.com. Sarah, you and I, we did a little Pampered Chef party. It was more me than you, and actually it was more you than me. We combined that together with a little HelloFresh. Like, we have been, okay, these, seriously, are we doing a lot of HelloFresh? Can you back me up here?
Yeah.
How are you liking it?
I love it. I think the only thing, I think we need to plan better when we know we have hectic weeks. Like, we had talked about the week of my surgery and the days following. I was like, maybe we better pause it, because you'll have to cook everything by yourself. And you're like, no, I'm going to cook. And I, in my head, I was like, he's not going to cook. And you didn't cook.
I didn't. It was too busy. Work was really busy that week too.
You know, we made it work. Even when the kits sit in the fridge too long, usually the only things I have to replace are a couple of really inexpensive produce items, because the meat's in the freezer and most of that stuff keeps. And so, you know, we put a pause on this last week because we were just getting too busy to cook. But
we got one coming this Saturday.
Yeah, but I like it because it forces us to get in the kitchen together, and we like cooking together, and it takes the burden of the meal off of, you know, it just being one person. Yeah. They're easy. You're not overcooking. We don't have a ton of leftovers that we have to worry about eating up. Cause that was a problem when the kids all first moved out. I was so used to cooking for an army. We would have all these leftovers and they weren't getting eaten. I'm like, learn to cook smaller.
Yeah. But, it fixed that. Like, yeah. It fixed that in a hurry.
And I feel like they're healthier. They broadened my taste horizons. I've tried some things I didn't think I'd like, and it surprised me pleasantly. I'm learning more about cooking a little more, because it's taught me some new angles on cooking. You know, because you get in a rut after 20 some years of just cooking for the kids and carb heavy and protein heavy meals. It's like, you know, you just do the same things because they work and everybody will eat it, and you get in a rut. So it was
nice. We had some pretty great tacos last night. I made the meat. And you made the salsa, and mm-hmm. We've had some crema.
Yeah.
And it was pretty great. And yeah. It took us 3 times longer to make it than it did to eat it.
My chopping hand's a little slow these days.
But it was super good. We're partnering with Pampered Chef right now. We use a lot of Pampered Chef stuff. And I'll leave a link in the show notes. That's open till Sunday. Most of you, by the time you've listened to this, it's probably here and gone. But if you're listening live and you haven't taken advantage of it, I think it's pamperedchef.com/party/Jim Collison. I think that's all that gets you there. You can check it out. We're closing the party Sunday. We don't want to be doing this forever. But thank you to a couple of you mm-hmm. who are listeners who purchased. We appreciate that. I'm buying Sarah some pizza stones for her birthday. And that, of course, will help. Us do that. But man, Pampered Chef is, I talk about geekery, cooking geekery, super great. I did 2 onions last night in the matter of about 3 minutes, and I was still crying a little bit, but man, chopping those was a whole lot easier with the chopper. So, and it's fun. You can just take your aggressions out. I've learned not to say your name anymore when I'm crushing them. I just grunt it. They even have a deep dish. Andrew was saying in the chat room, he loves their pizza stones. They have a deep dish pizza stone, which is kind of cool. It's got a sign-on thing.
They have everything.
What are we going to get? Are we going to get you a second large pizza stone, right? And then what else are you getting? Anything?
I was thinking of maybe the cookie sheet, because there's a lot of applications with that.
Okay.
So, yeah. And I've got my eye on a handful of gadgets. They always have great gadgets. They're just really
smart.
The herb grinder. I feel that'll save us a lot of time.
I think so. I think that's the next thing. Yeah. Cause we do a lot of
herbs are tedious, but I love fresh herbs. So, no. And I got to get the herb garden started.
I love it when herbs fresh too. So we have a lot of fresh. I have a lot of HelloFresh coupons. If you want to jump in on that, makes it cheaper for you. I get a little bit. I think I've even got a few where you get a whole bunch of stuff for free. Let me know, Jim@theaverageguy.tv, if you want to jump in. And we always appreciate the HelloFresh commercial. I do save it till the end. Like, I do not. I could do this up front. You guys would freaking stop listening, but. But I do appreciate you guys staying to the end. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. Oh, let me ask you one more question, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Do I sound weird? Like, for a decade, you've been hearing me talk down here without hearing the other side of it. Is that weird?
No. At first it was, but no.
Okay. I always think that would be weird. I'm down here. I kind of lose myself in podcasting, you know, and I kind of remember, and I'm hearing people and we're doing stuff and ha ha ha. And I'm laughing loud and all that other stuff. And then I think, oh my God, Sarah is only hearing half of the conversation. This has got to be the stupidest thing.
No, I mean, cause let's be there for a few years. I was able to jump in and listen to the show. I would sometimes get in chat and listen to the show and yeah, so I kind of understood the concept of what was going on. The one thing I do notice that you may not realize is you definitely have your radio demeanor, where your posture and your tone and the way you talk all changes a little bit. it's just humorous to me.
Yeah, no, I get behind the mic and it's different, right? It's a different cadence. It's a different, I use different tones. It's just a different place. Yeah. And that must be weird for you.
And no, it's not weird. I think the only thing I've had to learn is, knowing the context of the podcast you're on. Is it your podcast? Can I be casual and,
interrupt, you know,
and jump behind the make myself seen in the video.
Yeah, you haven't done that in a while.
Interrupt you or if it's work, I know that's a definite no-no. Just stay away. Don't let the house burn down. Keep the cat away, you know, things like that.
Well, thanks for coming on. We'll for those of you who are listening to the recorded version, if you're listening live, hang around. We'll do maybe a little post-show. Maybe you can ask Sarah some questions. Maybe it'll be a lightning round with questions for Sarah in the chat room.
That'd be fun.
If you haven't joined us live, come out some Thursday and do it. Mike is back. I think we've got some folks coming up. Let's see. I think Dwayne is up next week. Dwayne Robinson is coming back. He pinged me. He's like, dude, I got some things to talk about. He always does. So Dwayne, I think, is on next week. He is. 2 weeks later, Erin Lawrence is back. She's got some cool stuff to share with us. And then on the 28th of March, Riche is back. We talked about Windows. So got a lot of great stuff coming up. We'll say thanks for coming on. Good night, everybody.